in the morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you today? Welcome to another all-engrossing episode of St. Mark Bemidji's podcast, a podcast that melts in your brain, not in your MP3 player. Thank you for listening today. We're all on this journey together, supporting each other in brotherly love and encouraging others to join us in the saving faith of Jesus. If you haven't told someone about Jesus today, what are you waiting for? There are all sorts of ways to do it. It doesn't have to be fancy. The word is sufficient in itself. Maybe let me give you a leg up. Maybe your buddy from work likes to sleep in on Sunday mornings. Well, during Lent and Advent, ours and just about every other Wells and ELS church have services on Wednesday evenings. Ask him if he wants to come with you after work. A lot of time, there's food before services. I know there is just before ours almost every Wednesday this season at 5:15, and then the services at 6:30. You'll both be home way before the 10 o'clock news. You may have noticed that I occasionally sing on the podcast. It's not because I'm that great of a singer. I know a number of people far more talented than I am with their voice. But music holds a special place in the work of the kingdom of God. Indulge me, if you will, as I read a short passage by Martin Luther on music and the word. I would certainly like to praise music with all my heart as the excellent gift of God, which it is, and to commend it to everyone. Next to the word of God, music deserves the highest praise. She is a mistress and governess of those human emotions. To pass over the animals, which as masters govern men, or more often overwhelm them. No greater commendation than this can be found, at least not by us. For whether you wish to comfort the sad, to terrify the happy, to encourage the despairing, to humble the proud, to calm the passionate, or to appease those full of hate, and who could number all the masters of the human heart, namely the emotions, inclinations, and affections that impel men to do evil or good. What more effective means than music could you find? The Holy Ghost himself honors her as an instrument for his proper work when in his Holy Scriptures he asserts that through her his gifts were instilled in the prophets, namely, the inclination to all virtues, as can be seen in Elisha in 2 Kings 3, verse 15. On the other hand, she serves to cast out Satan, the instigator of all sins, as is shown in Saul, the king of Israel, 1 Samuel 16, verse 23. Thus, it was not without reason that the fathers and prophets wanted nothing else to be associated as closely with the word of God as music. Therefore, we have so many hymns and psalms where message and music join to move the listener's soul, while in other living beings and sounding bodies, music remains a language without words. After all, the gift of language, combined with the gift of song, was only given to man to let him know that he should praise God with both word and music, namely by proclaiming the word of God through music and by providing sweet melodies with words. Today, our meditation comes to us from Woodlake, Minnesota. Pastor Cowie will present us his sermon titled, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. May God bless our time together, pondering the Word.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I suspect that the crowds of people who followed Jesus to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee did not come singing Jesus' Priceless Treasure, or any hymn like it. John tells us that the reason that they came was because they had seen the miracles that Jesus had done on the sick. But they themselves were not sick. They were not in anguish. They weren't even hungry yet. They didn't come up to Jesus saying to Jesus, Jesus, even if we lose everything, even if we have nothing at all, as long as I have you, Jesus, I have everything. Rather, they were coming to Jesus to see what treasures Jesus would give to them. It's possible, though, that you also would not have sung Jesus' priceless treasure today either if it weren't the assigned hymn of the day. Because perhaps you are neither in anguish or not really that hungry either. Because perhaps we already have all of our pricey treasures, the things that we love and enjoy. We have them in our houses and in our garages and sheds. We have the best that money can buy. We can even buy things that we can't even afford. We are certainly not in danger of getting stuck without something to eat, not for very long. And along with that, if we do suffer in our bodies, if we get sick, we have access to the best health care our insurance will allow. And we say to ourselves, if we're lucky, if we're healthy, if we're moderately wealthy, we don't need much at all. But I want you to notice that the crowds who came to Jesus on that day, they didn't ask Jesus to feed them. They didn't even see or know their need. As it happened, Jesus looked up, saw them coming, and Jesus saw them. And when he saw them, he saw needs they didn't know they had. They didn't know that they would have. And yet he already had in mind what he was going to do. And at this point, Jesus involves his disciples. He asks them, where are we going to buy bread for all these people? They say, that's impossible. We can't. Don't have enough money. Andrew points out a boy with a little food, but not nearly enough. In other words, the disciples are not going to provide what is needed. They can't. So we find out Jesus was only testing them to teach them that they couldn't, but Jesus could. And yet, he will use them. He uses even their meager contribution of fish and loaves, and he uses their hands to distribute his gifts. We'll come back to that idea in a little bit. But then Jesus acts. He makes provision. He provides for them still before the people ask for it. That's when he does a miracle. He gives thanks for a little, an amount that is not going to be enough, and he hands out a lot, even more than they needed. Long before you were ever aware of your need, any of your needs, or all of your needs, Jesus looked up and saw you. Just as he does in our gospel for today, when Jesus looks up, when Jesus looks and he sees human need, he sees the hungry, the sick, the paralyzed. He sees the lonely, the grieving, the guilt-ridden, the dying. When he sees that, he sees you. Not just what you are aware of now, but even more what you will need, though don't even know. It is everything when he sees, that leads him to have compassion. And then when Jesus, seeing this, when he sets his sights on Jerusalem and he sets his sights on going to the cross, he sees you in his vision. He sees your need before you asked. In fact, before you were even born, he died. And by the greatest miracle of all, he came out of his grave. He gave thanks for just a little bread and a little wine. And he miraculously multiplies his own body and blood to be at once in many places to come and satisfy your every need. Take for example of a child brought to church for holy baptism. The child doesn't appear to be in any grave danger. Baby's not sick, not starving. Seems to be suffering no great temptation or suffering or big outward sin. The baby seems to have hardly any needs that we can't fill. Not that we can see. But Jesus looks up and he sees. He sees what is on the inside. He sees what is unseen. And he sees the future too. And so he looked and saw you. And so he lived and he died for you. It's as if Jesus ahead of time says, he says, sit down on the grass, have a seat, let me take care of this. Let me take care of you and everything you need is all in him, in his living, in his suffering, in his dying, in his rising. And then you are brought to church or come to church and you are baptized into him. Baptized into his death. Baptized into his resurrection. So that now you can defy the devil with all his works and all his ways. The devil comes and he tries with all his might. But you sing, Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. Because the Lord your God has united himself to you and unraveled all the might of the enemy. Today you can decry and mock even death. You can even stand one day at the graveside of your dear loved ones and mock it as we do. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Because Christ our Lord has risen from death, and we're with him. All of this Jesus saw ahead of time. Before we knew it. Before we ever knew we had such a need. And he even sent out his servants to serve us. On the very night when Jesus, after Jesus rose from the dead, on Easter evening, he said to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. He sends his disciples, his apostles, ministers, pastors, who by themselves cannot provide everything that you need. What they have to give is not enough. Their contribution is meager at best. And yet, Jesus does use those meager efforts and ideas. He uses them as servants to deliver the food that he provides. They're not worrying about how to deliver or how he makes it work, how it happens. They just keep dishing it out. Again and again, as much as you can eat. So you might not feel all that hungry right now. Your conscience might not particularly trouble you today, but the devil attacks and accuses. He even attacks and accuses little children and teenagers too, and adults and the aged as well. And even if we don't always feel all of it, even if no one else sees it, Jesus looks and Jesus sees. And in addition to dying and rising to atone for your salvation, he has sent a servant to feed you, to tell you what he wants to say to you, to give to you what he has to give, the forgiveness of sins. And don't miss this important fact that Jesus had his disciples picked up the leftovers. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't because Jesus was really concerned about the food filling up landfills or something. But it was so that this food would feed someone tomorrow. Because Jesus knows that they will still need to eat tomorrow. They will continue to need to be fed by him in the future. And Jesus provides for that too. He will not let his care, his forgiveness, run out. This isn't like manna in the wilderness. It's not only good while it lasts or until it goes bad. There is no end to it. And he will make sure that his servant is there to give it. We might not have known before, but now I think we do know what we must sing. Whether we're hungry or not, whether you suffer in anguish or feel the burdening guilt of sin today or not, you sing Jesus' priceless treasure. Jesus, my truest friend indeed, my Lamb of God, who loves me, who gives himself to me. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure. Jesus, priceless treasure. Amen.
I sincerely pray that today's meditation on God's Word has enriched you. Didn't get enough of God's Word? Are you missing out on that in-person fellowship? We hold divine services right here in Bemidji, Minnesota at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday school and adult Bible study is also offered between our Sunday services at 9:15 a.m. We also live stream our Sunday divine service at 8 a.m. You can ensure that you are notified when a stream is live or a new podcast is available by subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's easy to find by typing in St. Mark Bemidji in the search bar and clicking on the subscribe button. Want to listen to meditations the way I do every day? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to podcastindex.org and search for St. Mark Bemidji to find us. This is our fifth year producing this podcast, and there is a large archive of devotional material online available if you want to learn more about God and His Word. Visit www.stmarksbemidji.org or look in the show notes in this podcast for a link to this and many other meditations on God. If you have any questions or you would like more information about our church and its ministry, please visit our website, which is once again www.stmarksbemidji.org. May God bless the rest of your day.